If you will, take your Bible and turn to Leviticus chapter 13. We've been talking about leprosy and the correlation between leprosy and sin. Leprosy is a picture of what sin does to the spiritual body, just like leprosy does to the physical body. Sin does to the spiritual body. And not only does sin affect the spiritual body, but of course we also know that it affects the physical body too. So we've been kind of looking at that. And so we're going to pick up on Leviticus chapter 13, verse 7 and 8. This is what the priest was to look at when he would make the determination if someone had leprosy. But if the scab should at all spread over the skin, after it has been seen by the priest for his cleansing, he shall be seen by the priest again. And if the priest sees that the scab has indeed spread on the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is leprosy. Now, leprosy can start off a small thing. It can start off just as a little scab, just something just very small, something very little. But it wouldn't take very long before, if it was uncaught or wasn't diagnosed, that this leprosy would begin to spread over all the body. And that could be bad for not only the person, but his family, his community. It's the same way with sin, y'all. A lot of times sin starts off very small. You know? It just starts off just a little bitty thing. And then it begins to grow. Maybe it's just a passing thought that you have, and all of a sudden, pretty soon that thought turns into an action, and then that action turns into something major. Just ask King David. 1 minute, he's strolling along and he looks and he sees a beautiful woman taking a bath. The next minute, he finds out has sex with her and she becomes pregnant. Then he finds out she's pregnant. Next thing you know, he's plotting to send her husband to the front line to have him killed, and sure enough, her husband does die. And then the baby dies. Just for a few moments of pleasure, all that happens. Started off very small. He just looked. He just seen. Ask Achan. You know, he took a little gold, he took a little silver, he took a garment, went and hid them in his tent. No harm, no foul. These people were this. This city was destroyed. What harm would it do? Twenty-six men died because of Achan's sin. So Joshua and all the Israelites took Achan. They took the silver, they took the gold, they took the garment, they took his tent. They took his sons, they took his daughters, they took his oxen, they took his donkeys, and they stoned him. And then they burned everything. Just for a few material things. See how small it started? We know something little can cause a major pain, don't we? Get a little rock in the shoe, you know, walking like this. Get a little sticker in your sock. Get a little crumb in your bed. Little things can cause major problems. For some people, it's just a little drink, just a little snort, just a little taste, just a little pill. But then it becomes a lifetime addiction. A lifetime addiction. A little heavy petting on a date can turn into an unwanted pregnancy. I heard a preacher years ago, and he said, don't wait till you get to the back seat of a car. Does anybody even get in the back seat anymore? I don't know, it's been a long time. Wait until you get in the back seat of a car before you make a decision how far you're going to go. This is what he said. He said, you better make up your mind before you start dating how far you're going to go. Don't wait till you get in that position before you decide what your limits are. Man, that only not only goes for sex, but it goes for a lot of other things in our life. You need to make up your mind what your limit is, how far you'll go. Will you lie? Will you steal? Will you cheat? Before you get into those positions, because when you get in those positions, you may not make the right choice because of all the pressure. There was a lady one time who took a couple blankets from the cabin, and they called her and now he charges $30 a blanket. Let me tell you what, they're not $30 worth of blanket there. Okay? I'm just telling you that if you ever stay there. But I'm telling you, that lady said, well, we didn't take them. It must have been the cleaning person. Well, my boss said, well, ma'am, he's a preacher and he wouldn't take them. And she said, well, you probably took them then. Well, the conversation was over then. But when he was telling me that, I said, look, I'm not taking anything that doesn't belong to me. But if I find $1 million in there, I'm taking that, and I ain't telling you. I've got standards. Anything less? No. But if it's $1 million, you understand what I'm saying? Well, you've got to make up your mind what you will do and what you won't do in situations. Now look with me, Leviticus 13, look with me there at 44 and 45. He is a leprous man, he is unclean. And the priest shall surely pronounce him unclean. He is sore on his head. Now the leper of whom the sore is, his clothes shall be torn, his head bare, and he shall cover his mustache and clean and cry, unclean, unclean. A person with leprosy, it could spread throughout his family. If he didn't go to the priest and let the priest decide if it was leprosy, pretty soon his whole family might have it. It is so contagious that they would have to literally put them by themselves in some little camp by themselves. And so it could spread. And how is that like sin? Man, our sinful habits can spread. They can spread to our spouse, and to our children, and to our grandchildren, and
to our community, and ultimately to our nation. Our sinful habits.
I wished that when I was much younger and my children were much younger, I would have said, unclean, unclean to them. Don't do as I do. Don't act the way I act. Don't talk the way I talk. Don't think the way I think.
Because what we do, who we are, affects our family. Y'all, I see my father in me. And I see me in my children. And like any other parent, I want it better for them. I wanted them to be better than me. Look at verse 46. He shall be unclean all the days he has a sore. He shall be unclean. He is unclean and he shall dwell alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp. It is amazing how sin isolates people. Because it does. You take a person, I mean, you get a group of people, and they like a social drinker. Yeah, have a drink. They like that. But you let that same group have a drunk within their midst, and they'll turn their back on. Because they have a standard. They'll isolate that person. People who steal will not tolerate people who steal from them.
That's right.
They got a standard.
That's right.
Messed up as it is, they got a standard. Any person who gets addicted to something will many times find themselves alone, either because they push people away who've tried to help them, or they've chose the addiction over their friends and family. And then they're alone because friends and family have distanced themselves away from that person who has an addiction, because they couldn't trust them any longer. There was theft and lying and intimidation, even abuse. You see, sin always ends up with you alone. You commit adultery? Have two women at one time or two men at one time. But I guarantee you sooner or later, you'll find yourself alone. Now, say you want to go on Sunday school and I'll say the words again because it's so true. Trying to love two women is like a ball and chain. You understand? Sin will ultimately leave you alone. If you embezzle a lot of money and you've gained a lot of money, guess what? Sooner or later, you'll get caught and all you'll end up with is a 6x8 cell by yourself. Or at least you'll be praying you're by yourself. Look at verse 52. He shall therefore burn the garments in which is the plague, whether warp or woof or wool in the linen and anything of leather, for this act of leprosy, the garment shall be burned in the fire. Get that? Their clothing shall be burnt. Now in the back of your bulletins, I gave you some scripture. We're going to look at it in just a second. This right here, y'all, is clothing. I'm not talking about the suit. I'm not talking about the pants. I'm not talking about the shirt. I'm talking about the physical body. He clothed us. He gave us this. Because this dies, but the soul doesn't. So then, so what happens when this life is over? Well, your soul has to go somewhere. Your soul can either go to heaven or it can go to hell. But guess what? It's going to live forever. So the choice is yours. Either you can be dressed in what God gives you. In other words, He's going to give us a new body. This old body that hurts and is in pain a lot of times and doesn't want to work right and doesn't want to see right, sure doesn't want to hear right half the time. This is gone. And He's given me a new body, I'll be clothed in righteousness, the Bible says. Now the person who never accepted Jesus Christ, they will go and they will burn in hell forever. And it is not extinguished. It does not go away. It is suffering all the time. Forever and ever and ever. Isaiah 61:10. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for He has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. And as a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. Isaiah 64:6. But if we are like an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are like filthy rags, we all fade as a leaf. Our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. In other words, I've got to depend on God to clothe me. I've got to depend on God to save me. I've got to depend on God to do these things for me. Because I can go to church. I can tithe. I can surrender to preach. I can surrender to be a missionary. I can do all of those things. I can be dunked in that thing a trillion million times. I can join the church. But none of that means anything if I don't give my heart to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Revelation 7:9. After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one can number, all the nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes with palm branches in their hands. Man. Can you imagine looking on that crowd, seeing all these people dressed in white robes, clean and holy? Revelation 3:18, Jesus is talking to a church, and He says, I counsel you, buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, white garments, that you may be clothed, that your shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anointed your eye salve, that you may see. Jesus is saying to that church, He's saying, look, take what I'm offering you.
you the ability to see. I'm offering you all these things. Take from me.
Revelation 6:15. Behold, I'm coming as a thief. Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments, lest we walk naked, and they shall see his shame.
Christ clothed me, but it's my responsibility to stay clean. My responsibility to go before God and confess my sins. It's my responsibility. Not your responsibility. It's not the preacher's responsibility. Not the deacon's responsibility. It is each and every one of us' responsibility to go to Christ and say, forgive me of my sin. Because just because you got saved doesn't mean you still don't sin. You think the wrong thing. You do the wrong thing. You act the wrong way. You behave the wrong way. Those are sins. And you need to confess them before God. And the Bible says he will forgive.
Look at the last one. Psalms 9:17. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forgot God.
All those people who say there's no God, or that's where they're headed. I'm not happy about that. Because I guarantee you, yes, they made a choice not to believe in God. But us Christians have failed to live a life that they see something different in us. So what's it going to be? You may clothe in your own righteousness, or be clothed in what God gives you. Y'all are all good people. But I don't think there's a person in here I wouldn't trust with anything I got. But you know what? Good people can go to hell too. You've got to have Jesus in your heart. You've got to ask him in your heart to save you from your sin. There was a bicycle race in Grand, Texas, and I've told this story many times, but I just want to say it again because it was a big, long bicycle race. Of course, Wichita Falls News was there waiting to see who was going to win. Grand leader was there going to take pictures and put it front page. There was a guy who won, who came in, beat everybody, but he forgot to do one thing. He forgot to sign. Now, how disappointed was he? He'd run the race, he'd beat everybody, but he didn't sign it. So he's disqualified. Man, I'm afraid there are a lot of people who go to church and they sing the songs and they tithe and they do good. But they're going to stand before Jesus one day and he's going to say, depart from me, for I never knew you. How horrible is that going to be? Don't be that person. Don't be that person. Let's all stand. We have a song of invitation.